Okay. All right. Thank you very much, and thank you very much. Are we on the air? You're on the air. Okay. Well, thank you very much for inviting me back to make this presentation. I gave something like this presentation at LinuxConf AU. So I'm going to be talking about AbiCollab, which is our real-time document collaboration tool. And I was going to present for the first time ever in a public forum a really powerful new website and web service that makes great use of AbiCollab, but I can't do it because I can't make this stupid machine go through your projector. And I use this thing all the time. Trinity's projector. I use this thing all the time at work. Anyway, we'll keep going. So, I should start by talking about the people behind AbiWord, the people who make it work. And then I need to do a whole bunch of technical stuff. How the document structure works, what a change record is, the basics of AbiCollab, which is the serialization of change records. So talk about internet connections and network topology, the network topology we need to use in order to make it all work. And I'll talk about the issues, the fact that we have to deal with this thing called internet lag. We have to deal with the issues to do with undo and what we call globs, which is when we put a whole lot of structures together, a whole lot of changes together in one structure. How we deal with collisions. So a collision is something similar to what happens when you try to commit some source code and someone else has changed exactly the same line of source code. And your revision control system says, you guys work it out. So we have to do something like that in real time. And then this is this point here, how AbiCollab is actually very much like a distributed source control system in an algorithmic sense. And then finally, AbiCollab.net, which is our new service, which will, we think, revolutionize how people work with documents. So let's start off talking about the people behind AbiCollab. To start off with, there's Mark Moore, whose nickname is UWOG. He works for BetterBee and OLPC. He did some contract work for OLPC. BetterBee's is a really cool company in the Netherlands. There's me, and there's Mark Kode, who we call Fodex. Also works for BetterBee and did some contract work for OLPC. And I suffer from jet lag. So, what is AbiCollab? AbiCollab allows real-time document collaboration between arbitrary numbers of AbiWord sessions. So the idea is I type on my computer, you type on your computer, someone else types on their computer in the Netherlands, someone else types on their computer in New Zealand. We all look at the same document, and as we type away, the documents all change in synchronous all around the world to all these different sessions. So it's very useful for collaborative document creation. So typical use cases are in schools where you have a number of kids working on a project together. So they can just automatically see what each is doing. Universities, same issue. Students work together in teams on a project. Businesses, where teams are working together on a joint document. I do this all the time when I'm making ARC preparations and applications. There's a number of people that I have to work with, and we all have to agree putting together this common document. So this is incredibly useful for that, and our service is designed around this sort of issue. Journalists working together with an editor, so the editor can see exactly what the journalist is doing as they type, or vice versa, the journalist can see how the editor's screwing up his article. And with AbiCollab, we can operate without a server and without locking. So we can operate without a server, but our service actually needs the server, and I'll explain why later. But the important thing is we work without locking, which means we never stop anybody from typing. So everything runs at full speed. And what we do is if there are errors, we correct. Unless there is an absolute collision, in which case we still correct. So why do it? Well, initially because fearless leader Jeff Waugh decided or implied we'd be paid lots of dollars. And lots of dollars always gets us freelance hackers interested. That didn't actually appear though, but anyway, that got me interested. Upon reflection, it appeared cooler than other neat ideas that we had with AbiWord, what we wanted to do going forward with the project. No other word processor had it, so that's one of the reasons it was cool, of course. The One Laptop Per Child project really wanted it because they're very much into collaborative working. And we could see that this fitted in very nicely with that, and we liked the idea of being on millions of laptops around the world, and actually doing things for kids is good too. It looked like a really fun challenge. And finally, because remote control of all types has always fascinated me. So I always liked the idea of remote controlling stuff. And this sort of seemed like it. Well, it is like it. You know, I type here and it appears on the other side of the world as I type it. That sort of thing has always appealed to me. All right, so the genesis of AbiCollab was this discussion from Jeff Wall. He sent me an email and we thought about it, we talked about it. And I said, I just thought I'd tell you that Dom, UOG, and I have started a discussion on how to do the collaborative feature you suggested. It should be doable in a reasonable time frame, 1 month, if we focused all our attention on it, I think. Dom and UOG may have other ideas about the time frame because they always think I'm too optimistic. Yes. That was me to Jeff Wall back in March of 2005. Yeah, well, so that's one of the better examples of human hubris. So we're not short of hubris in AbiWord. So every other feature of AbiWord, I knew exactly how I would do it before I started. I thought it out, wrote it out, well, roughly. I thought, okay, we get to this point. I'm not quite sure about this, but I know roughly what to do and we'll go forward. AbiCollab was a leap of faith. I sort of worked out the genesis of the idea, but then all of the details, I thought, God, how are we going to do this? Well, we'll work it out as we go along. And that's essentially what we did. And in fact, I have to say, if I knew more about academic software development or academic computer science, I probably wouldn't have done this because this was an unsolved problem. Okay, so to explain how it all works, we need to explain the AbiWord model, document model, which we call the piece table. So this piece table is a doubly linked list of objects with definite position and length. So this is the piece table here. You've got all of these objects, and they're all doubly linked, and all of these objects explain something about the document. So things called a struct are things to do with the structure of a document, like a paragraph. A paragraph structure. So this says, make this paragraph have a right indent of 3 centimetres. And this is the first element in the document. It has position 1 and length 1. It's always 1 unit long. Then we've got some text, position 2, length 16. Here is some text. Here we've got an object, which is actually an image. It's length 1, and it's an image, and it's shoved into the document at that point. Here we've got another structure. This is another description of a new paragraph, and this time we made the left indent 2 centimetres, so we changed that around. Then we've got another piece of information. We actually turn on bold over this range of text. So here is some more text, and here we turn on the italics. Okay, so we've got these arbitrary sets of attributes defined on all of these different objects. Okay, the attributes tell you what the document looks like. So this is the basic model of the document. Okay, so the way AbiWord works is we have this document model and then we attach all of these views to it. So the views actually take the document, interpret all of this information and turn it into something interesting. So you can either export it to a different document format or you can display it on the screen or you can print it. So that's what the views do. They basically look at the documents and create something interesting, like you know, what you see on the screen. Italicized, bolded, move the left margin across 2 centimetres. All right, so the idea is, this is our cunning plan, the way the documents attach to the views are by sending out what we call change records. So information about all of these different pieces of the document. So the idea is that we run all of these changes through AbiCollab and we serialize them. We turn them into something we can squirt across a network, run it through an AbiCollab at the other end and deserialize it, make the changes to the document model on the far side. And so whenever you make a change here, not only do the views get updated, but you squirt it across the internet and you make changes in the remote document. So this comes back to these ideas of change records. Change records are emitted by the piece table object as it's created, destroyed, or changed. Every time you make a change to one of these objects, you create a change record. And these change records go out to the views and tell the views how to change themselves. So each change record identifies where it operates with a position. These are broadcast to every listener attached to the piece table. And what AbiCollab does is serializes these change records. So instead of it just being an object, like it's a C++ class, it actually converts it into some sort of description, like an XML description of exactly what this thing is, transmits them to the remote session. The remote session basically condenses this thing back into a C++ object and changes, deserializes it, changes it to the local document. So the stuff regarding the documents and the views understand how these objects work. That was how AbiWood was designed from the start. The difference is the serialization part. The fact that we serialize and we make this XML description of the class, we just broadcast across the internet, and we tell it where to operate on the remote site. Okay, so the core principles of AbiCollab were that documents must always be identical. We would never allow any document to become unsynchronized with another one. And the other thing is, our core principle is that users should not be surprised. So if I'm doing something on my document and I type undo, I should expect the last thing that I did to be undone on my document and not on the remote document. Things like that. So, as we designed this thing, we realized that we had to work out a lot of details. And one of the details that Mark Mora did, UOG, was the network connections. From the start, AbiCollab was designed to be able to be used without a server. So there are other schemes around that basically say, we'll have a server and this thing will block a change while you're making your change. So if I type, you first tell the server, hold it, don't let anyone else do anything, I'm doing a change right now. And then when you're finished, tell everyone else, okay, now you can update your local system with this change. And then, okay, we've done, updated everybody, all right, now you can start typing again. So that's what we didn't want to do. This allows direct connections with no locking. We're designed to have a flexible transport API which allows different transports, and we've made extensive use of this. So far we have XMPP, which is basically the protocol behind Java, which we use via the loudmouth library. We have direct TCP connections using the ASIO library. This comes from Boost. We have telepathy connections with either TCP or Java. So this is what OLPC uses. And we have our own connection using TCP, but with our service on our remote website. So this is new technology that was developed for OLPC by CollabNet. And we've gone an extra step beyond that as well with our abicollab.net. All right, so what I was going to do now is explain why this is a hard and unsolved problem 2 years ago. So the issue number one is internet lag. You can lose synchronization because of finite propagation time. I'll just explain what the issue is. All right, suppose you have two users, Alice and Bob, and here are a really simplified version of their documents. Okay, so they start off identical. Alice has, here is some, and Bob has, here is some. So Bob's caret is at location 6, Alice's caret is at location 12. Now suppose Bob enters I and Alice enters E. Alice generates a change record, insert text at location 12, E. Bob generates a change record, insert text at 6, I. Okay. But they do this before the other one sees what they've done. So before Bob has a chance to see that Alice has entered E, he puts his I, and before Alice has, before Alice sees that Bob's entered his I, she enters her E. All right, so Alice comes along, types in E, appears there. Then Bob's change record comes in and says, insert I at location 6, goes there. Bob inserts his I at location 6, goes there, that's fine. And then Alice's change record comes along, insert E at location 12. But this has arrived before this happens here. So, comes in. E comes in at location 12, boom, there. So we're screwed. these documents are no longer in sync. This one says sum, and this one says thum. So this is our first issue. There are changes made within the finite propagation time across the internet. How do we deal with this? This is the big issue. So this is the solution. What we do is we record the change record position and the piece table size change, how much the object actually changes, which we call an adjustment for every object. And we send this info to the remote session along with the last change record number received from the remote session. So not only do we send this information along, we also say the last object I actually received from you. So upon receiving the change record, you look at the last remote change record received, and you look to see, have I made any changes since this thing appeared? And what you do then is you adjust the position of the application for the changes to the local document for changes not yet seen by the remote. So I can see that I've done all this other stuff that Alice hasn't seen yet. And if Alice hasn't seen them yet, then what I have to do is correct the position at which her change comes in by all of those changes that I've done. And then that works. So here's an example. Alice and Bob have both generated 6 change records. Alice generates a change record number 7. Insert text at 12E, and this is my new record. The last record that I saw from you was record 6. Bob generates a change record number 7, insert text at 6i, and the last record I received from you was record 6 as well. Okay. Bob receives Alice's change record 6. She hasn't yet seen his change record number 7. Ah! So what do I do? He looks to see in his change record number 7, inserts a position 6, which is before her insert point, a point at 12. So Bob knows that Alice hasn't seen his change at 6. So he says, aha, I had to adjust her position by the amount that I've actually changed in the document. So he shifts the insert point plus 1 to position 13. And then that works. Alice does the same, but she sees that his point doesn't interfere with hers. Okay, and now it works. So this comes in at 13. And hers comes in at 6, and everybody's happy. So this is the network topology we actually have. We have a document model, we have Abbey Collabs, we have a document model in the center, and we can attach these Abbey Collabs to any number of documents attached to a central document. Now the important point is that what we have to do is arrange this pairwise connection, and this we have to have the star mode or central mode topology. So the idea is that the center one, we'll call master, is attached by one connection everywhere else. Then this master knows exactly what changes Bob makes because there's no degree of separation between the two. Similarly, this master knows exactly what Ted does, knows exactly what Carol does, and knows exactly what Jane does. Okay, so all of these people know, because we're just one degree of separation from one another, Ted just sees Alice typing very fast because all of these other connections, Jane, Carol and Bob, are making are typing, are effectively changing this document really quickly as well. So every change that Alice makes, Ted knows about. Every change that Ted knows about, Alice knows about. And similarly with all these others. So we need this network topology to make it work. So the second issue is undo redo. So pressing undo should only undo your own changes, but the issue is that Abbey Word records all the change records applied to the model. So the idea for Abbey Word when it was started, when it was formed, was that everything that you type can be undone and redone. So if it just sees arbitrarily that there's some changes to the document made by a remote user, unless you do something... Yep?
So there's...
That's right. Or... Yeah, that's right. Yes, you're exactly right. So if he's screwing with your document, you're part of the document, and he deletes a whole load of your text, you have to rely on him to undo it. AbbeyWord records all the change records applied to the model. So the issue is that if I didn't allow that, and if I allowed that, then the problem would be that if I pressing undo should only undo your own changes. So you jumped ahead at the point I was going to make. But that's exactly the issue that we have to deal with. Okay, so here's the initial table, here's the remote table. I hit undo once, I undo my own change, I hit undo again, and what I do is I undo a remote change 22 pages later. So this was the person working on page 22, I'm working on page 1. So I definitely don't want to undo, under those circumstances, the remote person's change. So what we do is then we tag the remote change records and we record their adjustments. And so now I only undo my own changes, so undo 25, and then I skip over these two and I record how much I have to adjust the text for not having done anything, because these have happened before 25 and 24 have occurred, and then I can keep deleting or undoing my own changes. Now the issue is, I can't undo remote change records, but I can take, but I take account of the effects, and if the remote user changes your text, you can't undo it. You can type over it and put it back, but you can't undo it. And so under those circumstances, you need some social networking to punch the guy in the face next time you see him. And hopefully he won't do it again. Interesting idea. Okay. Complex operations. Some operations in AbbeyWord require the conglomeration of many smaller operations. So if this is interrupted, AbbeyWord's left in an unstable state. So what this means is if I'm, for example, inserting a table which has a complicated set of structures, table, cell, block, cell, table, I really don't want a remote user coming in and inserting a piece of text in the middle of that. So what happens is that AbbeyWord handles these by placing glob markers before and after. So I'll put a glob before and a glob after. And as soon as one of these things appears on my my local AbbeyCollab, I basically say, okay, I'm not going to do anything else until all of these are processed, even though these appear one at a time via the internet connection. So the idea is AbbeyCollab stores all these up when it sees a glob come in, and it just blocks all these together. Then when it's all finished, it just sort of just shoves them into the local documents and everything works. So the solution is to glue all the operations between the globs together upon reception and then just do them all at once. Okay, so that's okay, because if the network fails, then the whole glob won't be assembled together, and if that happens, then basically the local document doesn't get changed because AbbeyCollab doesn't see the final glob. Yeah? Well, because all of the others are atomic transactions. So inserting a table structure is an atomic transaction. Putting all of these things together is what we call a glob. Look, I'm not into databases, so I'm sorry. Yeah, another question? No, they just increase uniformly every time. Okay, so we just increase them every time you make a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one was local and one was remote.
Yep.
So, yeah, so you, not only do we know, what we have to do is make a distinction between local and remote. Okay, so an Abicolab change record is marked as remote. Something that's done locally is marked locally. And that's the important distinction. Yeah? Sorry, there's a question at the back? Yes, that's exactly what happens. Yes, that's exactly what happens. So as far as all of those other ones are concerned, it's that send a guy typing really fast. Yeah? Right. So if the sender one dies for the TCP connection, then basically you just have the document that you've got locally, and that's it. Sorry? Right. So when we run our service detects that situation, and the service can work it out and provide someone else to be the master. And that's one of the features of the service as opposed to the non-service mode, the TCP connection. So under those circumstances, yeah, you've just got your local document. But with the service model, someone else gets shoved into the master. Yeah? Sorry? Yeah? Go ahead.
So that means like no.
Just local and remote at this point.
Local.
Yeah. So it's sorry, you know if...
You're in a network with multiple people.
Right. You can. But as was pointed out before, it doesn't really matter, mean that much, because as far as you're concerned, if you're not the master, you only know about your master, but the master knows about everybody else, and the master knows who else is in the collaboration. If you're not the master, you only know about the master. Actually, you can. This is something else that we can do because we have this ability to put arbitrary tags on all of our change records. We can always say, put out the username along with every other change. Yeah? 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 Right. So that's certainly true, but we haven't worked on that problem for the TCP connection. We're working on that problem for the service connection. Okay, so extra new feature.
Yeah, so you've got four people, you cut it apart, two groups there, and you go, we can form our own things, then you suddenly have a job.
This is great.
You quickly get into nasty locations.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, I'm not used to this. These are all great questions. Thanks very much, folks. Yeah? Go ahead. So the question is, you could use any network topology, not a star. So the problem is that if we jump back... here we are. If we had something like a connection here and a connection over here, then these two guys would be typing away without knowing what Jane over here is doing. So if Jane is typing a document at location 25, they wouldn't know about it until it filtered all the way back to them over here. It would filter through, but in the meantime, you've screwed up location 25 without them. I'm not convinced about that, and I thought about that very hard and deep, and I couldn't come up with an obvious solution, an obvious thing that would say yes. So instead we went with this, which works. Oh, that you also have loop problems, that's true.
Odds are you've got your number of posts trying to be possible, and they would stuff odds in.
In the end, the issue is that everybody has to see what everybody else does, and so you know, if you have a system of 40 users, for example, all 40 users are changing their documents at exactly the same rate, and so having a star topology doesn't hurt you in that respect. It certainly makes it easier, and this is provably true. I mean, let me put this. Exactly, and this is provably true.
Yeah.
And so we went with this. Yeah. So another question. Yeah. Absolutely, and OOPC have tested this. So on an OOPC computer, those pretty little dinky green things, they've tried it up to 10. 10 works fine. So on my laptop, which is at least, you know, 6 times faster, that's where I get the 40 from. Just a guess. I mean, this hasn't been widely exposed yet, except for that by the OOPC guys. And they have dinky little computers. All right, so I did this. So the last one is collisions. So this is this issue I talked to you about before. Bob and Alice place their carrots at exactly the same location. Bob presses, that's Bob, not Bod, presses X. Alice presses Y. What happens? Well, the answer is it's undefined. Yeah. So we have a collision. There's no provably right thing to do here. So collisions occur if any unseen change records are omitted from the local session overlap with an incoming packet. So if I make a local change and there's a remote change that's exactly in the same region of the document, then we have a collision. If this occurs, the master document tells the remote remote to undo until we're back in sync. So if the master says, oh, we got a collision here, no, we won't accept that, just undo it. Okay, so it undoes it, and then it looks and says, okay, all right, so that's all right, now we'll go on again. So the symptom of this, you would type, and then suddenly your key wouldn't work, or you'd try to press E or something, it wouldn't work. And then you could try pressing E again, and then you could get on IRC and try and work out how to do it, what to go forward. Do some social networking, yep. No. Just undoes it and goes on. Gets on with its life again. So there's all of these things you could, you know, worry about informing the remote user. But, you know, we all saw how Clippy worked. And it's really a pain if the computer starts telling you what you should be doing. So instead of that, we thought we'll just try and fix it and we'll let the users work out what's going on. It's not quite like that because remember there's always a master. So
the master process is one thing. Master has two licenses.
Right. Right.
Then I just want to get the same process.
I think that's true. Huh? It's the same, yeah. So the question is we have two remote users who make changes to the same region of the master document. And so then the master, yeah, it would see the one that came in first, whichever one that was, and it would accept that. Then it would see the second one come in, try and make the same change, some change to the same region of the document and reject it. So that would be what would happen under those circumstances. Yes, it would. Yep.
So if two needs to make the same change.
Yeah. No. No. No, it wouldn't do that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You know, there's this thing in physics called the identical particle. There's this thing in physics called the identical particles, right? So there's no difference between electrons. And one electron is exactly the same as another one. And one uranium nucleus is exactly the same as another uranium nucleus. And the Australian government uses this principle in making sure that China doesn't make bombs out of Australian uranium. Because you can't tell the difference between one atom and another. Okay, so Abbey Collab and Abbey Word on the OLPC. So this is a classic. I love Mark. I love your work. All right, this is one of our young, excited young developers. I'm excited that you're getting OLPC test systems. I've played with emulated images, and it seems like I've really got something. So Mark comes back with, "I'll use it to land more chicks." So Ryan comes back with, "Ha! They'll be all over the married guy with a little green kid's laptop." Yep, that's the plan. So as I said, we're not short of hubris at Abbey Word. Well, it didn't work. We're still married anyway. So, you know, I guess the point from that is we all love OLPC and we all want it to work, and the fact that they were interested in our technology and this idea made us even more keen to make it all work. And one of the things we needed to do to get Abbey Word onto OLPC was to make an embeddable version. So basically, Abbey Word's become a GTK widget. We had a Bonobo control which required a widget, but nobody used the Bonobo control. So it was buried in our executable, and Robert Stallinger developed a build system. So with this, you can just link straight to our GTK widget. So now we have Python and C++ and C# bindings to allow embedding in other applications. So this makes a powerful rich text widget with Abbey Collab built in. So if you have a great idea for rich text application, you can just use Abbey widget just the same way that you would use the GTK text widget, and it'll all work. And you'll also, but it'll be a lot more powerful, of course, because you can type in it and do, you know, change the fonts and change the indents per line, put tables in there, put, you know, images, do word wrap around images, all the powerful things you can do with a word processor. In addition, you have Abbey Collab as well. So that's what we used for the OLPC Write system. So that's the basis of OLPC Write, which has a radically different user interface. It just uses the embedded widget, and they have this very stripped down and very different user interface. Now, the other thing that OLPC have is that they have built in from the ground up the idea of collaboration. The idea that it's easier to find other users and other kids. And it's all basically built in. If you don't have that built in, it's actually hard to use Abbey Collab. It's hard to find someone on the internet. So we decided we wanted to fix this problem by providing Abbey Collab for everybody. So this was the idea behind AbbeyCollab.net, and this is what I was going to demo to you. But unfortunately, it's all on my computer, and I can't display it. So you can crowd around my computer, I can show you how it all works. So I was going to do some cool demos. So we can do that later, and you can just watch. So that's it. Abbey Collab allows real-time document creation. It operates in a decentralized peer-to-peer network with no locking. All Abbey Word instances operate at full speed. Conflicts are resolved through the exchange of extra information regarding the change record order and size. So it's similar in principle to a decentralized source code management facility, and there's clearly lots of knowledgeable people about these sort of things. LibAbbey Word and Abbey Widget allow the powerful core to be reused with radically different UIs, like OLPC Write. And the code works and is being widely deployed. We just released 2.60 yesterday, so that should be coming to a distro near you, although I have to say Ubuntu's packaging sucks, and I don't know if they'll make it work. But Fedora will make it work, SUSE will make it work because they're talking to us. Hopefully the Ubuntu guys will make it work too. All right, that's all. Thanks. So there's a question? Yeah?
What about the offline problem? Somebody drops off and gets to update their document. Then they come back on.
And then they're screwed. So, repeat the question. Okay, the offline problem. Someone comes on the net, updates the documents, types away, then drops off the net and does their own changes.
Yes.
Then they're screwed. So somehow they have to merge their changes back into the master central system. So the point about abbeycollab.net is it makes it really easy. So what you can do with abbeycollab.net is, if you look at recent files, a recent file is something that actually lives on abbeycollab.net. So if you just connect back to that recent file, it will just load the latest version off the net, and if someone's editing it, you'll just edit with them as that happens. So it gets around this locking problem as well. So if someone's checked something out, you can edit it immediately. You can edit it together rather than waiting for them to load it again and resynchronize. So that's one of the really powerful features of abbeycollab.net. Yeah, didn't we just say this isn't the same document? So if you tried to get someone to connect to it,
yeah,
it would just open up a new window, and you would type, and you would see, oh, that's different from the one I've got, and you'd have to sort that out somehow. But the point is, if he just works using abbeycollab.net, it'll just work, because you'll always have the latest document, and you'll never have to wait for that person to come offline again so you can see what they've done. You can always work 100% together. Yeah? Different versions of Abbey Word?
Yeah.
Basically, the question is, what happens if we have different versions of Abbey Word with, say, different protocols or different fonts? Different fonts we can deal with, although that's a pain, but different versions of the protocol, they've got to be the same. So this is the point about Abbey Word, though. It's a 10-second download here from the Netherlands. So it only takes 10 seconds to update. Sorry, another question? Yeah? Very, very tightly. I had a long discussion with a KDE developer about generalizing or genericizing this, and he saw that if you had a particular, if you have a linear document model, then you can reuse our algorithms, but you've got bugger all chance of actually making it work with a different one. Because you only need to be wrong once to totally screw up the synchronization, and then you're up the creek. Yeah? Another question? So the question is, I've talked about the Abbey Word document model a lot, and is this the internal representation as opposed to what's on the disk? Yes, it's the internal representation. What's actually on the disk is essentially the XMLized version of that. So the Abbey Word document model that's on the Git XML format that's on the disk is basically that, what's in memory, but with XML wrappers wrapped around it. For Abbey Word's internal file format, that's right. Well, that's the whole problem we have with different word processors talking to one another. It's a problem I have, interface with Microsoft Word, or OpenOffice, or WordPerfect, or whatever, or KOffice. It's a fundamental problem. Getting all of those changes right is really difficult. And, we put a lot of work into getting our RTF and our MS Word and our ODT formats as good as we can, but we can't guarantee that they'll ever be as good as our Abbey Word format.
One last question? No? Seriously?
Oh, yeah, more questions. Donna. It's going very well. I actually did a bit of work on that over the last few months. Oh, sorry, the question is how well does AbbeyWord reproduce the ODF format? And my answer is it's going very well. I have my own issues with the ODF format. I think that they've made a number of silly mistakes. And so, for example, one thing that they've allowed is for a positioned image to be located just relative to a page number. So you don't know a priori where this thing actually goes in the document until you've laid it all out. So that means that if you take an Open Office Word document and you try and make a web page out of it, it can put all of its images right at the top because the web page doesn't know where to put those. So that was a silly thing that they did. And I haven't actually implemented that in AbbeyWord because I have to do another pass after having laid everything out to say, okay, I'll put it in this location. But a lot of the other stuff we've done, and yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, thank you, Mom.
Okay, thanks.